expressed by the hosts, callers, and guests are not those of DGVRadio.com. Envisage Productions, LLC, its advertisers, sponsors, or employees.
All right, here we are. We welcome everyone to my Right Radio Show here at DDB Radio every single Saturday, 2 o'clock to 3 o'clock, www.mikebroadcastddb.com. Listen, pray for our city of Patterson. I seem like the law, like the sheriff department closed off all the bridges. So it looked like some devil threatened to blow the bridges up. The devil is a liar. And I was blocked on the other side of town. I had to swing all the way back around and get down Main Street to get across town. But the devil is a liar. Of course, the devil got to show his ugly head on this, of course, resurrection afternoon. This is a beautiful Saturday. And according to Jewish culture, not American culture, Jewish culture, Christ Jesus died on a Friday. He resurrected on a Sunday. And he did it in what you call 3 days. But the counting of 3 days is different in Eastern Jewish culture versus American culture. The 3 days included part of Thursday and Friday, part of Friday and Saturday, and then he arose on Sunday, which makes the 3 days. But what I started this afternoon, this started this morning from 9:30 to 10:30 on my Mike Radio, on my Mike Live, was showing you that in the Gospel of John, when we get to John chapter 14, it's much more different than what we've heard all of our lives. God bless you to my assistant president of SITU, Cynthia Jones Easton. Glory be to God, Maria. Maria, God bless you. Dr. Carl Johnson, my best friend and best cousin. Amen. Theologia Dukes Clark, God bless you for watching this M for you. And we're going to continue to ask that you join in with me. Let's pray. Let's get right into this word, because I will admit what I'm teaching you is quite radical, quite controversial. But I'm going to allow you to continue to understand how to exegete a text. And so I'm going to give a wave to my cousin called Dr. Johnson, wave to Maria, wave to Cynthia, amen, wave to Hadika, Deidre, God bless you. And I'm here for you whenever you need me. Are you ready? Call me about one situation, I'm here. I also want to say some special prayers for people who are facing certain situations, maybe face some court cases, maybe been falsely accused. God wants to deliver. So don't miss this. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you that you're the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You're the Father of all glory. Give unto us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, that our eyes are enlightened, that we may know the hope of your calling, the glorious riches that are inside the saints, and that exceeding greatness of your power to us word, because we believe according to the working of your mighty power, which you exerted in Christ when you raised him from the dead, far above all principalities, all powers, all mights, all dominions, not only in this world, but the world which is to come, which is Christ. Body that fill of all in all, in Christ Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Now, what I want to show you real quick, and I did some of this morning on my Mike Radio Show at 9:30 to about 10:30. When I was pointing out to you that the Gospel of John gives you a perspective and an aspect in the Christ life, which is a little bit more different than Matthew, Mark, Luke. And if you read the Gospels, it gives you four perspectives or four ways of looking at Jesus. And Revelation, I think it's 4 chapter 5, says that John, the revelator, saw a picture of this beast that had four faces, the face of a king, the face of an ox, the face of a man, and the face of an eagle. And I really believe that speaks to the four Gospels. Matthew represents the king, seeing Christ as king, and Mark sees Christ as the servant, and Luke sees Christ as the human being, as the plain man, and John sees Christ as God, Elohim, the divine one. And so John gives you a perspective into Jesus Christ's life at such a level. It really sometimes seemed to outrun that perspective of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in some aspects. So when I read the book of John, it's very careful not to cut yourself short, because sometimes we read certain subtopics or subheadings and chapters, and we think that the thought has been completed or there's a new story. No, these things in the New Testament are building on top of a picture on top of a picture. And sometimes our translators, due to their ignorance, we think because you put a little subtopic there, a little big number, a chapter 10 or chapter 11, that the subject changes. No, it doesn't. What you're going to see is that a lot of what Jesus is performing in signs, when there's the miracles, is really causing a lot of problems, all right? Because if you really look at the whole book of John, it's like one long thing that goes together. As I go back and look over these chapters, man, because in chapter 9, he heals a man that couldn't see for 40 years, was born blind. He puts mud on his eyes. The man comes back seeing. And the religious structure of that day hated Jesus for doing that. And they thought they can see. And Jesus Christ called, you know, you're really blind. But if you think you see, then you think you're okay. but you're really blind. And in John chapter 10, he starts to call the religious structures of the day thieves and robbers. You've come to rob, murder, steal, and destroy. You're just like your father, the devil. All right, because you don't have any belief in me. You decide not to choose to believe in me because that means you'll lose power because you think you own the sheep. And then John chapter, and then of course they chase him out of town in chapter 10 with stones. Okay, now this is the religious structure of the day. Now I'm dealing with Resurrection Weekend. I'm dealing between Good Friday and Sunday, and this is Saturday. Okay, and in John chapter 11, Jesus Christ performs another awesome miracle. All right, he does these miracles quite powerfully. First of all, he heals a man who was born blind for 40 years. And then, of course, he goes and he's going to raise Lazarus from the dead after 4 days. All right. He raises the man up and his influence in his sphere of power begins to grow. And the political powers of that day in John chapter 11 did not like it because they said, what are we accomplishing? They asked. Here is this man performing many miraculous signs. If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him and Rome will come and take away our temple mount and take away our nation. And then, of course, I said this earlier, John chapter 11, verse 49. Then one of them named Caiaphas, who was the high priest that year, spoke up. He said, you know nothing at all. You do not recognize that it's better that you do not recognize that it's better for you that one man die for the people than the whole nation perish. He did not say this on his own, but as high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the Jewish nation, and not only for that nation, but for also for the scattered children of God, to bring them together, to make them one. So from that day on, they plotted to murder and take his life. Now, of course, in the mind of Caiaphas, he think about murder Jesus. He's saving the nation of Israel, not knowing that God is using, in spite of his ignorance, to save the whole world, the whole nation. But you're dealing with a spirit of religion and control, and you'll see that same spirit alive today in a lot of our religious circles. And in John chapter 12, of course, John chapter 11, they're planning on murdering Jesus. They already had it in mind, but this is the first time they're going to carry out the whole action. So Christ is careful where he goes. And in John chapter 12, 6 days before the Passover, Jesus arrived at Bethany where Lazarus lived. So here's the guy. He took out the grave after 4 days, okay? And could you believe that the spirit of religion is so terrible, they still trying to kill a guy, all right? But then, of course, Mary took a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume in chapter 12, and poured it on Jesus' feet, wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with this fragrance of perfume, which is really a form of worship. And, of course, Judas, the one who loves the money, who likes the power of the kingdom, but doesn't like the way that Jesus Christ is bringing it. He understands that Jesus Christ is bringing a kingdom from the inside out, not the outside in, and it's not the type of kingdom he wanted. So due to his disappointment, he's going to mass an opportunity to make money off of Jesus and betray Jesus. Not that God made Judas betray. He saw that Judas would betray, and God, due to his foreknowledge, used that to bring glory to Christ, the Son of God, so he died for our sins. I'm going fast because I don't want to get caught up in everything. Okay, and of course, Jesus Christ prepares for his crucifixion. He's coming into Jerusalem, and it's like the final nail to the coffin. He enters in on a donkey's colt. Okay, he predicts his death. Okay, and in chapter 13, he has his closed house meeting with his disciples, and 12 of them at the table with him. The apostle John is next to him, always putting his head on his chest. Peter there, who got the foot in the mouth disease. Judas is there trying to betray him, and nothing takes his Christ by surprise. He understood he's about to face a rugged death, a nasty death. He know after that he'll have less than about 40 days on the planet Earth, and he's going back to be with the Father God, and all power is going to be turned over to Christ Jesus. Since he knows where he's going, he moves to a place of servanthood, to a position of servanthood. He gets out of his chair. He takes all his clothes off. He wraps his towel around his private parts, and he starts washing the disciples' feet. He got to Simon Peter, and Simon Peter says, "You will not wash my feet." And let me give interpretation, because if I had my way, I wouldn't wash your feet. See, it works in reverse. So Jesus said, "If I don't get to wash your feet, you have none of me." And then Peter goes on and says, "Well, then wash me. Not only wash my feet, wash my head, wash me all over." He says, "You didn't even understand what I'm trying to do. Stop trying to block with your ignorance." But Peter had the foot in the mouth disease, and you'll meet some of these believers who think they know and they don't know, and they put their foot in their mouth too much. Anyway, so in chapter 13, he predicts his betrayal. He is explaining what's going on. God bless you, Melissa Collins. God bless you, Maria. Maria, this M for you. Cynthia, this M is for you. Hello, Debbie Light. God bless you. All right, I got you. All right, so in chapter 13, All right, he was troubled in spirit. I tell you the truth, one of you going to betray me. They said, well, which one's going to betray you? He dips in verse 26 in chapter 13 of John. Jesus answered, it is the one to whom I will give this piece of bread when I have dipped it in the dish. Then dipping the piece of bread, he give it to Judas Iscariot, son of Simon. As soon as Judas took the bread, Satan entered into him. I told you physical and spiritual work together. This is the operation of a servant, of a serpent. A devil jumps into a body and is going to create a what I call a regional act, a major move. And Satan is allowed to do this because God's going to use this for his glory. He will permit evil to bring forth a greater glory. And of course, Jesus says, now I'm about to be glorified. Okay. It's about to take place. It's about to go down. Okay. I'm talking about the days preceding up to his crucifixion. And of course, Peter once again got the foot in the mouth disease and started saying things about, you know, Lord God, I won't deny you. I'll follow you to the end. I'll follow you with my life. I lay down my life. And Jesus had got sick of Peter and said, listen, let me tell you something. Shut up. He said, before the rooster go cock-a-doodle-doo, you will deny me three times. Okay? Then he goes into this chapter that I have heard preach at funerals for years. But I used to always listen to people in these scriptures. I used to always say to myself, and it's just in my young mind, when it says chapter 14, don't separate it from chapter 13. Don't separate from chapter 12. Don't separate from chapter 11. Don't separate from chapter 10. Because chapter 9 is when he heals the blind man. Chapter 8, they was trying to stone him. Chapter 9, it opens the blind man's eyes. They're trying to kill him, trying to murder him. Chapter 10, he tells off the religious structures. Chapter 11, he raised Lazarus from the dead after 4 days. And these are Jews who hate his influence and hate his effectiveness and hate his ability to operate, to prove he is the Messiah and he is the Christ. So there's a religious structure of that day, the Jewish age of that day, the Jewish elite of that day, that wants to murder Jesus because he got too much power and too much clout. That's why some of y'all in trouble, because you're just too good being you. Anyway, in chapter 12, they're preparing for his burial. And of course, Mary is very smart, who anoints his body with this type of perfume because she understands he's about to go and die. She sees it. And so, you know, and then chapter 13, he gives an inside meeting. And then finally, on chapter 14, watch how this begins to unfold. He said to his disciples, do not, now go from chapter 13, verse 38, after he tell Peter, you're going to deny me three times. And then he always goes back to the comforter. He said, don't let your hearts even be troubled. Don't worry. Don't stress yourself. That's what it means. He said, trust in God. Trust also in me. Why? Because God is in me and I'm in God. God the Father is in me. I'm in God the Father. In my Father's house, or my Father's house are many rooms or many mansions. That means many positions. Every room is set up positionally. Okay? This is deep. If it was not so, I would have told you. But I'm going to prepare a place for you. Where are you going, Jesus? Now, this is the question I'm always going to ask people. Where are you going right now? So he's going to the streets paid with gold. He's going to the streets paid with gold. No, he's not. No, he's not. He's going to Calvary. Don't step over the crucifixion, the burial, and the resurrection in John 14. Where he's going right now, the people cannot go. He's going to an old rugged cross. He's going to be beat half to death. A crown of thorns will be pressed on his head. They're going to punch him. They're going to whip him with 39 stripes with glass at the ends of the tips of the daggone whip. When they rip the blood, rip the skin off him. This is where he's going and no one else can go. And what he's doing, he's going to prepare a place for his disciples. What place? That means position. I'm going to prepare a place that you could be restored back to your original position. Now, when you read chapter 13, now I want to point something out to you before I get to chapter 40. God bless you, Pastor Melanie Glee, my spiritual daughter. When you look at chapter 13 first, I want you to see this. It was then before the Passover feast, Jesus knew that the time has come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. The evening meal was being served and the devil had already put in Judas' mind, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that his Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God. He was returning to God. So he got up from the seat. He got up from the meal. Notice where he got up from his seat. He got up from the position, all right? Took off his outer clothes, wrapped a towel around his waist, and started washing the disciples' feet. See, to the degree of how far you see your victory, to the degree of how much power you know God gave you, will turn you into a servant, because you already know all power is given to you. So your enemies can't block it. Your enemies can't stop it. All it can do is hinder it or delay it, but it will not be denied. Okay? So Jesus Christ knew all power was coming. All he got to do is stay obedient to the unfolding. So after he washed the feet, right? This is deep. I'm going to show you this. When he finished washing, and I like how the scripture says this, and Peter said, no, you won't wash my feet. He said, if I don't wash you, you have nothing to do with me. And then Peter says, okay, Lord, wash me not only my feet, but wash my hands and wash my head as well. And then Jesus talks about a person who has had a bath, needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you are clean. For he knew he was going to be betrayed by someone, and that is why he said not everyone was clean. All right. But after he speaks, right, I want you to see how deep this is. I think this is what I'm looking for. I have set you as an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one that sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. And he starts to talk about someone lift his heel up against them, all right? And I want to see where I'm looking for here. Piece of bread, okay, no one. Let's see. Entered the tomb, took the bread. It was gone down, all right? I'm trying to find the spot where it says he went back to his seat, all right? I'm trying to find that, all right? Let's see. When he had finished washing the feet, all right, here we go. John 13, verse 12. When he had finished washing their feet, look at this. He put on his clothes and returned to his place at the table. He got up, washed their feet, then went back to the seat. That is very prophetic, because when you go to John chapter 14, I want you to see this. He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you, which means that so there where I am, you'll be also. And I really believe this is quite prophetic. We were already created inside of Christ. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was Elohim, Hebrew word for God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, which is the mother. And inside of Christ was us. But once we enter into sin, we were disconnected or dismembered from the body of Christ. So Christ was bodiless. We was out of head. So Christ comes to get his body back to reconnect the head. When he goes to prepare a place for us, he's going to put us back in the seat that we lost. See, this is a whole nother ball game that we go on to heaven with streets paved with gold. He's going to put us back in our body position, put us back in our dwelling place. Here it is, John chapter 14, verse 1. Walk with me closely. This is controversial, but I got to give it to you the way God gave it to me. Hello, Daniel Johnson. God bless you, Michelle Billups. This M for you, Daniel Johnson. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, but trust also in me. In my Father's house. Now, the question is, who is the Father's house? Who is the Father's house? What is a house? That's where the Father dwells. All right. Now, you got to understand this, because we always teach this scripture for funerals. In my Father's house. But the Father's house is Jesus Christ. The Father lives inside of Christ Jesus. And the only way to get to the Father is through Christ. He's the doorway to the Father. How do we know that? Hold your fingers there and go back to John chapter 10. It's very plain. I'm going to show it to you. Go to John chapter 10. And this is very good. Look, it says this. If you look at John chapter 10, it says, I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in some other way, is a thief and the robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they would not follow a stranger. Who's the stranger? Religious abuse, spirits of Jewish control, okay? In fact, they run away from him because they do not recognize the stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever come before me are thieves and robbers. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. Whoever enters through me shall be saved. Who enters through me shall be saved. I keep telling you, it's through Christ. That's why when you get to John chapter 14, go back to John chapter 14, and here's what I'm trying to show you. The Father is dwelling in Jesus. So there were religious rulers who kept saying, our father is the father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We can get to the father through Moses. We can get to the father through David. And Jesus, no, you can't. And there's been a switch, baby. The only way you get to the father is but through me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. So in order to get to the father, you have to come through Jesus the Christ. Look at John chapter 14 and look at verse 1. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my father's house are many rooms. Many are called, few are chosen, which means the body of Christ are full of many different rooms. And every room is a position where each of us is supposed to be remembered into the body of Christ. We're supposed to go back to our original location, back to our original seat, which is seated in heavenly places. But due to our sin nature, we was dismembered from the body. We was dismembered. Now Christ is going to remember us. Dismember means cut off. To remember, get reattached to your body position in your dwelling place. This is so deep here. In my father's house are many rooms. All right, if it was not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you, a room for you, a position for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. The word I am stands for the Godhead, Elohim, which means the great I am, Yahweh. You know the way to the place where I'm going. And then Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. So how can we know the way? And this is what Jesus says. And look at this. This is not politically correct. This is really something that would get you in trouble in our American society, because we think we got this thing called Burger King. You come to God any way you want. But I'm sorry, I'm preaching from the word of God. Verse 6 says, Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Let me tell you something. He's telling us to his disciples, and he's giving them the root of the matter, the instructional manual, that I don't care what your former Pharisees say, the scribes say, the elders that think they keep the Mosaic law. Let me tell you something. The Old Testament has come to an end in a sense of the Jewish age. Now there's a kingdom age on the table. I am the way to the Father, because the Father dwells in me, because I am the Father's house. Now I'm going to show you this. And if you really understood John more, we will understand that what Christ was talking about in John 14, verses 1 through 10, it's not this heaven filled with streets paved with gold. The Father is dwelling inside of Jesus. That's all John's gospel ever spoke about. The Father is in me, and I'm in him. The Father is in me, and I am in him. And if you receive me, then you be inside of my house with the Father. So I want the house to become a home if all of us dwell there. Okay? Now watch this. John 14, and look at this, verse 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and you have seen him. And Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. And Jesus answered, don't you know by now, Philip, even after I've been with you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? He's not talking about streets paved with gold and heaven later on. He's dealing with the Father dwelling in him. The Father's house is Jesus' body, Jesus' spirit. So the Father dwells in him. The Father no longer dwells in the Temple Mount. The Father no longer dwells in a physical city of Jerusalem. The Father no longer dwells in the land of Canaan or Palestine. The Father really dwells inside of Jesus the Christ, and Jesus Christ dwells inside of the Father. And if you receive Jesus, you can get a room inside of them. So that's what it's talking about. But what happened is the arrangement is not finished yet. He got to prepare the place. He got to get you ready. He got to get everything set. There has to be a price paid for this. The Jesus got to go to the cross and die. He's got to give his blood up. He got to pour out the water. You got to walk this thing out. It can't just be in theory alone. You have to prove the theory by walking it out. I hear a lot of folks talk about they believe God. God's a healer. God's a deliverer. God's a comforter. And when you look at their lives, they've been comforted from nothing. They live on their mama's roof, and the mom and daddy pay their rent for them. You ain't lived through life till you went through some personal experiences when you realize that God really is a keeper. He really is a deliverer. Your testimony means you went through a test, you moaned about it, but you made it over. And you got an experience. It's no longer just theory. It has become proven that God is real. I've been doing this thing this year 38 years, and I'm telling you, God is faithful. He will stick to his word. Now, you might not get everything the way you specifically asked for it, but God will prove himself worthy. So in John chapter 14, verses 1 through verses 9, Jesus is teaching the disciples that the new dwelling place of the Father is not in the Temple Mount on top of the mountain. That system is coming down. That place will be torn down in 70 AD, not one brick left on top of another. The Father has moved his residency from a physical building to a building not made by human hands. Jesus Christ's spirit, the Father lives inside of. So to meet the Father, you got to come through Jesus Christ. Yahweh, all right, Yeshua. See, I'm trying to teach this thing. Look at John chapter 14, and he said, well, then show us the Father. He said, I've been with you all this time. The Father's in me. When you meet me, you meet the Father. He's dwelling in me. Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? Keep the same mind of thought. Don't change the thought, all right? The words I say to you are not just my own, are not of my own. Rather, look at this, y'all. It is the Father dwelling in me. See, dwelling in me, who is doing his work. Believe me what I say, that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Now, you see how it keeps on talking about the Father in me and I'm in the Father in me. He's not talking about streets paved with gold. He's not talking about someplace you go later on when you die. He's talking about right now, access and dwelling inside of Christ is the goal. To live, to understand the scriptures, not that I live, but it's the Christ that liveth in me. There's a decrease of me, and there's an increase of Christ through me. It's not my life. I live the life of Christ. I take up my original seat. I was in him before I came here. My God. Jeez, folks don't understand. You pre-existed in Christ before you came. You was known in Christ. God formed you before you formed in your mama's belly. You was already called and chosen in Christ. You was existing before Genesis 1 verse 1. You was in Christ. And God called you forth and took your spirit and put it in your body. And you had a call on Jesus in the earthly realm and earthly time because sin cut you off. You was dismembered from your chair, dismembered from your body. And through Christ's blood and water, you was restored back to your seat. And the Holy Ghost is poured on you and the kingdom is restored. My God, Jesus, hallelujah. There's some dangerous stuff. This is why the enemy was trying to keep me from getting to the radio broadcast. They want me to teach this stuff. I think walking in the kingdom stirs up storms. Look at it, it says in verse 11, believe me when I say to you, I'm in the Father and the Father's in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. What miracles he's talking about? Let me just go back and show you the miracles he's talking about. All right. Here are some of the miracles that Jesus did just in John chapter, the book of John. That's just crazy. He heals a blind man by spitting on the ground, making mud pies. That's a miracle. He raises Lazarus from the dead after being dead for 4 days. That's a miracle. Okay? So he performs these two miracles and even his prophetic appearing by the Old Testament scripts. Those are also accurate prophetic miracles. These are the signs and wonders that completely prove that he was the Messiah and the Christ. But the Jewish leadership of the day, I'm talking about the perverted form of it, did not want to give in to what Christ was saying. So he's telling his inside, watch this, he's telling his M318, he's telling his close circle, he said, here's the real deal. The Father does not live in the temple on top of the mountain. The Father dwells in my spirit, and I dwell in the Father, he dwells in me. And I'm going to the cross so you get your seat back inside of me. See, that's what he's talking about. Okay, now, if you don't teach that and you still use this as funeral scriptures, hey, I'm not going to fight you on that. I won't even get into that issue back and forth on that. We're bigger than that. But I'm giving you another perspective of looking at this, because when you look at John 14, he's dealing with the Father in him and he is in the Father, which a lot of the Jewish leaders in John chapter 9 did not believe. They didn't believe that Jesus Christ was in the Father and the Father was in him. They were saying the Father didn't send you. The Father don't even know you. You a demon, you a devil. And Jesus, no, I'm sorry. The Father lives inside of me. Okay? Now watch this. Going on. I'm trying to show you why they nailed the brother. Okay? He says in verse 12, I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. And he will even do greater works than these because I am going to the Father. See? And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask for anything in my name, and I will do it. One more time. Hello, Pastor Sharon. Hello, Minister Danielle. One more time. Here is the challenge of the day. Jesus kept saying that the Father God lives in him, and he lives inside the Father God. That the Father God dwells in his spirit. He no longer dwells in that house that Herod built or Solomon built. Those are physical houses. How could you make God a house to dwell in? That's only a visitation. He's moved his residence. Now he lives in my house. In my Father's house are many rooms, many positions, many callings. Take your seat. But hold it. You can't take your seat yet because I'm going to prepare a place for you. See, that's a whole nother aspect of looking at John chapter 14. But if you do embrace what I'm saying, if you really believe that the Father dwells in Christ and Christ dwells in the Father, then you do the same miracles that I perform. You're not performing miracles because you go to the temple and supposedly, quote unquote, keep the Moses law. You're not going to perform miracles because David is looking for Messiah one day and you don't like Jesus, so you pick out your own Messiah. It's not Burger King. Jesus is saying, listen, the system has changed. I am the only way to the Father. I'm the only way to Father God through Jesus, not through Confucius, not through pick out your own religion. Come through Jesus. I am the only doorway to the Father because he dwells in my house. Look at verse 15. Hello, Mayor Keith. God bless you. Joshua Quinn, greatest soloist in the world. If you love me, look at it. You will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot receive him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Now watch this. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Now he's talking about after the crucifixion. Before long, this is John 14, verse 19, before long, the world will no longer see me anymore, but you will see me. Why? Because I'm coming back in another form. I'm coming as the Holy Spirit, as water poured out on the day of Pentecost, and I'm bringing with me the kingdom, and I will live inside of you, and you will know that Jesus Christ is real because I'll be dwelling in your spirits. So as the Father God sent me as Jesus Christ, I will send you because you're part of my body and you dwell in me. See, that's a whole nother aspect of how we see this whole thing where Christ dwells and where you dwell. And look at this. Keep on going. And I explain this more in my SITU class. All right. Here we go. Verse 20. On that day, you will realize that I am in the Father and you are in me. Now, look, now we're adding you're in me. What's in me? The body of Christ, the church, the ecclesia. Now you're going to figure out that your real residence is inside of Christ. Now you're seated in the heavenly places. The Holy Ghost is in you. You in the Holy Ghost. You're one. Now I'm going to tell you how a house become a home when all the family is there. Listen, let me tell you something. When the Father, the Holy Ghost, and all the sons join together, that house becomes a home because we all dwell there. Look at this. I am in you. Verse 21, whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. See, this is why I get a problem with some of these grace folk, like you got no responsibility. He said, whoever has my commands and obeys them, you have to obey them. Don't reject me because you're trying to tell me I'm not the Messiah. Don't reject me because I'm no longer playing music, dancing to the song you've been playing, which was erroneous. Don't reject me, Pharisees, scribes, spiritual elders. high priests and preachers because your system is passing away and there's a new kingdom coming. I'm telling you, I'm the one that all the Old Testament was pointing to. All right? But you have to obey. Obey what? What I'm telling you to do. Embrace me as your Savior and your Lord. Give me your heart, and I will open the kingdom up to you. Verse 21, whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show ourselves to him. So I'm going to manifest myself to you. Once you give me your heart, once you say Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior, and I turn away from my religiosity, I turn away from my Gentile lifestyle, and I call on the name of the Lord, Christ will manifest himself through me and to me. Verse 22, then Judas, not the same Judas, said, but Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not the world? Now, this is deep. Hold on to your seat. Jesus replied, if anyone loves me, you will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Now, home is different than house. When my wife and I went to purchase our house on 29th Street, it was an empty building. That was the house. But once we moved in there, that was Tawan, all right, Jamie and myself, that house became a home because the family dwelled there. So what he was saying is, listen, if you really love me, right, you would obey what I'm saying. So since you reject me, you really don't love me. This is what he's saying. If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. Well, what is Jesus Christ teaching? He's teaching this. The Jewish age is coming to an end, and there's a new kingdom coming, which is the oldest kingdom in the world. I've come to restore you back to Genesis chapter 3. Stop chasing after what you think you're doing with the Moses law. Nothing wrong with the Moses law. You're just keeping it the wrong way. Nothing wrong. The law is good, but you don't understand how to keep it. I'm going to keep it for you. See, this was difficult for someone who does not believe that God the Father sent him. So when you reject Jesus, you reject God the Father. And if you think you're going to walk past me and go to the Temple Mount and keep bringing sacrifices to the priest and high priest and find that God is dwelling in that place, he no longer dwells there. God, listen, I'm God's new house. And when you open up Jesus' doorway and step into me, you'll meet the Father. All right? I will make our abode our home. That's Luther Vandross' song. Okay? And it says in verse 25, watch this. Oh, well, no. I want to go here. Verse 23, one more time. Jesus replied, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him. And we, look at we. See, that's a pronoun. We, more than one. We. I thought he's God split in three ways. God is a Father, God is a Son, God is a Mother, the Holy Spirit, like a family. And we will come to him and make our home in him. Now, I already told you in Acts chapter 7, when Stephen, just about time, he about to get stoned, he said something that made that Sanhedrin council real mad. He said, do y'all really think that you can build a physical temple and God live there? The whole heaven fills up God and the earth, you know, it's like fits under the balls of his feet. You really think God live in the Temple Mount? That really reminded them of the prophecy. Jesus says that within 40 years, it's going to be torn down to the ground. So these folks start putting their fingers in their ears and start stoning Stephen. He said, really what God dwells is the spirit that he made, he formed. So the Father God dwells in me because I'm his house, Jesus Christ says. And in my body of Christ, I got all these empty rooms ready, willing, and able for you to come sit in them. But you can't sit yet because the crucifixion is not completed. I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'm not going to the streets paved with gold yet. First, I'm going to the cross. I'm going to Calvary. And I got to stay on that cross and do everything I'm supposed to do. I can't come off the cross. I can't save myself. I got to pay the full price so that we are redeemed. Our sins are paid for. And I can put you back in your heavenly seat, which is inside of me. I can remember you after you have been dismembered. I can remember. Re means to do again. Dismember means to cut off. All right, here we go. Woo, there's some good stuff here. And you're of course, it's 249. And you've been listening to, of course, www.mikebroadcastddv.com. And also, you're watching Mike Live, okay? And I got a little while, not much longer. And I'm trying to teach some of this stuff Because, and I know some of this may be hard for some of y'all because you're used to the old church message, all right? And I don't knock anyone who still uses that for heaven. I won't go there trying to correct people. That's what we're going to do fine. I'll just give you a different perspective. And then, you know, these tickets here that I have in my hand, we're having a special dinner April 9th. We're honoring the mayor, superintendent of paths and schools, the chief of police, Della Fisher, Tony from Street to Street, Pillar College, about 15 leaders, youth corps, and we're coming together to honor them on April the 9th. Tickets are $20. Please inbox me. Limited people. We're coming to have some dinner and food. $20. It's really not about the food. It's fellowship and praying and encouraging our leadership of the ICU wards. Mayor Keith Kazmark, I hope you come out and support us. Man, I'd love you to come to 511 East 22nd Street in Paterson, New Jersey on April the 9th. Not this Monday, the following Monday, 6 o'clock to 10 o'clock. Come watch these leaders get their awards and rewards, because we say the ICU award that's brought to you by the Pastor's Pastor Workshop. Clergy, I'm fire. I'm the president, Pastor McDuffie, my assistant president, Pastor Alan Boyer, Reverend Marcus, financial secretary, Elder Lisa Brown, correspondent secretary and secretary, Ron Salente, Pastor McCutcheon, and there are others joining. And so we're about to start our new four-year movement. Come out on April the 9th. Please inbox me for tickets. Please download my Cash App and order my book, 177 Laws of Might. There's a lot going on. Just step in the picture and let's flow with it. And I got less than a few minutes, and I've been dealing with John 14. And you have to hear this stuff over and over. And I've been dealing with this religious thing we taught, and I go to prepare a place for you. And I keep asking, well, where was he going? He was going to Calvary first, crucified first, buried in the grave first, get out the grave first, and then spend 40 more days on the planet first, and then tell him I'm going back to heaven second. All right? So all that got to happen first. All right? Here we go. In verse 25 of chapter 14, all this I have spoken while still with you. But the counselor, the paracletus, we deal with that term later, paracletus. Paracletus is closely connected to another term called paracletus. You get that term clitoris later. Or for some of y'all deep folk who are too deep and can't deal with some of these terms that are quite femaleish, or assistant or secretary, one stand alongside of. But the counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, send in my authority, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I've said to you. So everything I'm teaching you, everything I'm saying to you now, these 3.5 years, the Holy Spirit is going to remind you. But also, I believe the Holy Spirit is going to remind you of things you've heard in eternity past. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. I got 3 minutes. You heard me say I'm going away and I'm coming back to you. If you love me, you'll be glad that I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And I told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not speak with you much longer, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold over me, but the world must learn that I love the Father and I do exactly what my Father has commanded. Come now, let us leave. And I'm going to deal with John chapter 15 later. But he's building a whole picture. And what I showed you in John 14 was the famous script we use while he's talking about heaven, streets paved with gold. Now, if you want to believe that at a funeral, that's okay. That makes you feel good. But I really believe from another perspective, he is saying, listen, I am the new house where the Father dwells. And if you can get rid of your religiosity and start rejecting my word, these words I say to you, if you believe them and obey them, my Father and I will come and live inside of you and make ourselves real to you. And that's what John 14 deals with. Now, if you want more information about that, join SITU. I teach this in more in-depth study in SITU. Look up my president, President Crystal B. Johnson, or my assistant president, President Cynthia, and ask to join SITU. Go with my Cash App. I'll upload it. Order my book, of course, for $25. Give a love offering of more than $30, and you become an automatic one of my circle members of my M318. I give you M's up. That means I pray for you constantly, and you support me by your prayers and your financial contributions. And I've given you a controversial looking at John 14 like never before, from John chapter 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, all go together. And chapter 18, there's a shift in the scripture, because that's when they come to arrest Jesus. Now, later on today, I'm going to go John chapter 15 and 16 as I continue to talk about things before tomorrow. Now, tomorrow morning, I'll be at our church service at the Mighty Sons of God Fellowship Church. We worship at Jesus. Jam Jack's Restaurants, 356 10th Avenue on the corner of 23rd and 10th Avenue tomorrow at 9 o'clock a.m. I do have a word. And we got a small gathering, about 30, 40 seats. Come and get your seat. I wanted to pack that place out. We're asking folks to remain, support the restaurant, buy something to eat. And we know it's Resurrection Sunday. They got sunrise services. You go to yours at 6 o'clock. Get over to my service at 9. We're coming out and doing what God's called us to do. Thank you for tuning in to www.mikebroadcastddv.com. Next Saturday from 2 o'clock to 3 o'clock. God bless you. God keep you.
Bella Physical Therapy, located in Fairlawn, New Jersey, featuring one-on-one care. Bella Physical Therapy can help treat your orthopedic and sports injuries, chronic pain, men's health conditions, and women's health conditions. Also, treating headaches and tinnitus and vestibular disorders. It's easy to set up an appointment. Visit www.bella-pt.com or call 201-791-0008. That's 201-791-0008. You owe it to yourself to stop living in pain. Start the road to recovery. Call Bella Physical Therapy today. Tri-State Health and Wellness. If you're searching for a doctor who truly cares about your health and well-being, contact Dr. Alex at Tri-State Health and Wellness. Dr. Alex specializes in treating law enforcement professionals and their families and features special hours to accommodate different work shifts. All necessary testing can be performed in their friendly and comfortable environment. Contact Tri-State Health and Wellness, located in Fairlawn, New Jersey. Call 201-791-7771. That's 201-791-7771. Wayne Ford. If you are looking for a certified, used, or new vehicle, look no further. Visit Wayne Ford, New Jersey's law enforcement preferred dealer. Featuring the largest inventory of pre-owned vehicles in the tri-state area, Wayne Ford has been proudly serving the community for over 50 years. Conveniently located 1/4 mile from the Willowbrook Mall on Route 46 in Wayne, New Jersey, contact Wayne Ford today. Toll free, 888-349-6857. That's 888-349-6857. Kale Orthopedic Center, featuring high-performance care for bodies in motion. Kale Orthopedic is proud to provide comprehensive orthopedic care for New Jersey's finest. Every day you put your body at risk, and Kale Orthopedic is here to help you. Contact Kale Orthopedic at 201-447-3880. That's 201-447-3880. Kale Orthopedic, high-performance care for bodies in motion. If you're tired of sleeping alone each night, contact Dr. Doblin of At Home Sleep Solutions. Dr. Doblin is New Jersey's law enforcement professional's preferred sleep apnea doctor. With the use of a custom-fitted oral device, you can now look forward to a restful night's sleep. Contact Dr. Doblin, featuring two convenient locations in Fairlawn and Trenton, New Jersey. Call 201-396-9338 or visit athomesleepsolutions.com. City Health Pharmacy, located at 23 Court Street in Newark, New Jersey. Come and experience why thousands of your neighbors choose City Health Pharmacy each and every month. City Health Pharmacy is a proud supporter of the men and women of New Jersey law enforcement, their families, and friends. Visit City Health Pharmacy today at 23 Court Street in Newark, New Jersey, or call 862-772-0442. That's 862-772-0442. When shopping for a new vehicle, look no further than Lester Glenn Auto Group. Why Lester Glenn? Because there's no middleman and no bait-and-switch tactics. Just supplier pricing for all police, EMTs, military, firefighters, nurses, and teachers. Active or retired with proper ID. Contact John Stetz today at Lester Glenn Auto Group, 732-228-1338. That number again, 732-228-1338. John Stetz at Lester Glenn Auto Group, a proud sponsor of Blue World Uncensored and NJ Blue Now. If you're looking for the widest variety of programming, diverse, uncensored, opinionated, you found it. DDVRadio.com is the place to be, with programs such as Uncle Floyd Radio, The Wise Guys Show, Curtain Call, and Blue World Uncensored. DDVRadio.com, the preferred radio network of NJ Blue Now.